Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As you all well know, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, which means that by tomorrow, by about this time tomorrow, in fact, chances are you will have had your fill of turkey and stuffing and rolls and mashed potatoes and vegetables and a whole host of other delicious foods. It's almost enough to make you salivate, right? It's almost enough to make you start pouring, right? But the thing is the meal isn't even the end, right? Because you'll loosen your belt, or you'll wear your special sweatpants, and then 30 minutes after the meal's over, after things have sort of started to digest, you'll get to the better part, dessert. You get to eat again on top of it all. And I would venture to guess that for you folks gathered here, that before you begin this whole smorgasbord of food that you have before you, you will fold your hands, you will bow your heads, and you will have a prayer. Now, for your family, I'm not sure what your tradition might be. Maybe you'll pray something from the heart. Right? Whatever the Holy Spirit brings out, that will be your prayer for your Thanksgiving feast. Maybe you'll lose what we have in the catechism, because Luther himself gives us a prayer of asking a blessing before a meal. Or maybe, as most people do, you'll pray the common table prayer. Either way, you'll bow your head and you'll give thanks to the one true God for his blessings that are set before you tomorrow or tomorrow night, whenever you have your Thanksgiving meal. Well, in our gospel text for this evening, we heard a very familiar story, the story of the 10 lepers. Now, leprosy, as many of us already know, is a horrible disease, right? It's a painful disease. The skin and the nerves are all attacked, and it leads to this, the person's body sort of manifesting itself in these sores and disfiguration, and it can lead to blindness and a whole host of other medical complications. And because it's such a nasty disease, what happens is those who have leprosy, they're cast out of the community. They can't be with their families. They can't be with the regular flow of life because this disease prevents them from being there. Well, 10 of these men who have been cast out of the community, they come and they approach Jesus. And they lift up their voices saying, "Jesus, have mercy." Mercy is receiving something that you don't deserve. To ask for mercy is to recognize that you are at the end of your rope, that you have nothing to give in return. Because notice what these men don't do. They don't say, "Hey, Jesus, if you heal this leprosy, let me tell you how I'm going to sweeten the deal for you after this is all over." They don't have any means by which to bargain with the Lord. They simply just have to open their hand, or in this case, lift up their voices and say, "We're at your mercy." Now, they're lepers, right? And so no one really would have held it against Jesus if he just, turned his back and walked away. They're unclean. They're not supposed to be associated with. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he heals them. He does have mercy on them. There's no more infection, no more sores, no more leprosy. One of the 10, 10% of the people who are healed recognize the great gift they have just received from God, and one of them returns thanks. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, since we always like to put ourselves into the biblical stories, well, that's me. I'm here. It's the day before Thanksgiving. I want to give God my thanks. And not only that, but you just told me, Pastor, I'm the sort of person who's going to pray before my meal tomorrow. And you're right, you are. But don't forget how many prayers are in this story. There are two prayers. The first prayer is a lifting up for God's mercy. The second prayer is after having received that mercy, you give thanks. Jesus himself said, was no one found to return and give thanks and praise to God except this foreigner? The Samaritan is commended because he praises and thanks God after receiving the blessing. He follows through on what we just heard from Deuteronomy a few moments ago. And you shall eat, and you shall be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God, who has given this good land to you. But quite honestly, how many of us actually do that? Do any of us pray after our meal? Maybe. I mean, we all know we're content to pray beforehand, but do we pray after our bellies are full and we're satisfied, or are we too quick to get up and go on to whatever comes next? And it sounds very strange, especially if this isn't something that's been built into your family. It sounds very strange to pray after the meal. Why would we do that? Well, because they did it in the Old Testament, because they did it in the New Testament, and because they did it all the way up until Luther. You know, I mentioned Luther has a prayer to bless a meal before you receive it. He also has a little prayer in there to thank God after having received your meal, that your meal is to be sort of put in these parentheses by these two prayers. Just like in Luke 17. Now, I use the meal, obviously, it's a really good example. It's the day before Thanksgiving. But shouldn't we return thanks to God after every blessing? We'll pray before surgery. In fact, quite a few of you here, I've prayed with you before surgery. But do we get down on our knees and do we thank God after the surgery is successful? We ask God for a joy-filled life. But do you thank God when you return home from your vacation or when you've enjoyed a day off? We ask God for help on a test of some sort, but who gets credit when we do well? We might ask God to help us through an illness of one type or another, but then after we receive that full bill of health, so quickly we're just ready to get back to life that we forget that God is the one who has given us the ability to recover from illness. We ask and we receive so much goodness from God, and certainly some of it we're more than happy to give him thanks for, but so much of it goes overlooked. And why have we received anything good in this world? Because we have a God of mercy. All too often, my friends, we are just like the 9 lepers. We take the blessing and we run. Now, we might not have leprosy. At least I hope none of you do. But we are sick. We have sin. We're sick with ingratitude. And it's precisely why we need Jesus today. While we did come here tonight to give thanks to God, more importantly, we came to receive God's mercy. Where do we see God's mercy? We see it in the picture of our Savior as he lives a perfect life and as he gives that life for you. Jesus goes to the cross and he sheds his blood and he dies to show you what mercy looks like. God's going to be God regardless of what we do. But he loved you enough to show you that he does love you. That even in spite of your ingratitude, even in spite of your sin, even in spite of this disease that we have to deal with, he still loves you anyway, and he'll forgive you every day of your life. You need to know that this mercy is poured out for you, and you need to see it. Not only in the cross, but in the resurrection. Where would we be if Jesus just died? There's no mercy there. The mercy is approved. The mercy is declared. The mercy we know is a victorious mercy over all of our problems. Why? Because Jesus is alive. He doesn't stay dead. He conquers all of our sickness, all of our disease, all of our sin. Even death itself cannot hold our Savior. Because that's the kind of mercy that God has for you. As a leper, you can't be a part of society. And as a sinner, you can't be in heaven. But in showing you mercy, God joins himself to you and you can enter that community. Community. You know the root word for community and communion are the same? And did you know that another name for communion is Eucharist? I'll say it again, Eucharist. Have you heard that before? It literally means give thanks. This is why we're here. It's why we're here in God's house, because we come as beggars. Not to make our case, not to tell Jesus how we'll sweeten the deal after he helps us out, but as utterly useless beggars in need of God's mercy. And he gives it to you today. Bread, body, wine, blood, in the Eucharist. And when we have that forgiveness, we're going to return thanks, just as the lepers did in Luke 17. And so before we sort of wrap this all up, I have two challenges for you today. The first one is for before the service is over, because we're about to embark upon our communion liturgy in just a moment. And what I want you to recognize is this pattern in Luke 17 of asking for mercy, receiving that mercy, and then thanking God. It plays itself out. You've been doing it every Sunday. We have the Lord's Supper, whether you know it or not. It's in the Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. And then we receive the supper. Then we receive exactly what Jesus promised to give us, his forgiveness, his mercy. And then what do we say right after that? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. So pay attention, because you're about to do it, exactly this. And my second challenge for you is tomorrow, or whenever you sit down for your Thanksgiving meal, and it might seem strange if you're not used to it, but say your prayer beforehand, as I'm sure you always do. And fill your belly with as much turkey and gravy and potatoes and vegetables and bread and everything you can fit in. But before you get up, even if it's just by yourself silently, return thanks to God for all of the goodness that he has given to you. And in so doing, have a very happy Thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your thanksgiving in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.